Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I have a house full of experts with me tonight. So excited to get the show going here. So 527-486-8166 KVNF now. It's a call-in show, and we'd love for you to join the conversation. Of course, our resident seed saver, Lance.
Good evening.
Good evening, Lance. And we've got Sarah Pope from Delta County Libraries. Good evening, Sarah.
Good evening.
And Don LaRoe from Zephro's Farm and Garden, fresh off seed saving education.
Hey, how are you?
Great to have all of you here tonight. I'm going to give the phone numbers again because I know people are going to get excited when they start hearing the conversation. 527-486-8166, KVNF now, talking about the weak link in sustainability and the thing that everybody seems to be getting excited about, and it's seed saving. Sarah, we're going to start with you. Give us an update on what's been happening at the Delta County Libraries in your seed saving project. You're going on year...
This is, we started in March of 2014 was the first year that we had seeds available for checkout at the Hotchkiss Library. And since then, we have grown exponentially. So now there are seeds available at every single library in Delta County. You can go into your local library and you can check out 10 packets every month. And if
wow.
you don't see, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's
yeah. ambitious.
Yeah. Ambitious. I hope you've got the garden space for it.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's been a great program. We've had really wonderful community involvement. It's grown every year. And we're really excited that we have seeds at each library. The other great thing, too, is that all of our seeds are cataloged, just like a book or a movie or any other item. So you can go online and browse and get really picky and choose what you're looking for and put it on hold and have it sent to whichever library you'd like to pick it up at.
That sounds pretty fun. And there must be good participation to be able to check out 10 seed packets at a time. I mean, you're really getting some great donations.
We really are. You know, it's been amazing. When we first started, we really were unsure of what the community involvement was going to look like. And every year we've just been overwhelmed in the best way possible by community involvement and the seed donations that we get. We have been cataloging more and more every year, and it's been really exciting. So we have what we call a seed librarian at every branch that is kind of responsible at each library and can welcome and guide our patrons as they're browsing for seeds. And it's been really amazing because we get just amazing seeds that come in to each library, and we package them and label them, and you know, we do that with volunteers and help, and it's just amazing. I don't have the numbers yet for this year, but last year we packaged over 1,800 packages of seeds.
Wow, that's that's amazing.
And I know that we have more than that this year.
Yeah.
So good work out there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's exciting to have everybody participating in that. And what's really your mission with that?
Well, the seed library is, our mission is really to inspire and empower a community of seed saving. This is knowledge and wisdom that is being lost. There are still a lot of people gardening and farming, but there are not as many people seed saving as there once were. And this is really a way to give people access, give people information, and empower them to start at whatever level they're at and be able to be a seed saver in whatever capacity they can be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just get started. Just do it.
Just do it.
Get your hands dirty.
Right. Okay, we're going to bring Don into the conversation, just fresh from the Seed Saving Organic Seed Alliance Conference.
Yeah, I got to go out to Oregon, and it was a very inspiring weekend, overwhelming, really, weekend of people who are doing amazing work in seed saving out there. You know, there was people, I think, from 32 different countries, and, you know, everything from the sort of the politics of seed saving all the way down to sort of the nitty-gritty and how do you do that really well.
Right. So a big... inspiration and participation.
Yeah, I mean, the Organic Seed Alliance is a great resource for people who, say, go to the library, check out a packet. They've got a lot of great publications on their website to learn how to sort of take it in different directions. And I think for me, that was the big take home message is, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to save seed? Are you just looking to, you know, try it out, save some seed, then throw some seed in the ground and try it out, try to learn about what variety right. you're growing, what species you're growing. Or, you know, if you want to breed things, you can breed things, or you can try to grow things out. There's just so many different directions to go.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about that just starting out kind of thing, because that's what you're trying to do, Sarah, is empower people to just get started with that. What are some of the easier plants that you can seed save, easy to seed save grow?
Lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Radishes, beans.
Mm-hmm.
Peas.
Yeah.
Peas are a fun one.
Dill, cilantro, arugula. Those are some good ones too.
Parsley.
Parsley. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah.
Marigolds.
Oh, I like that.
For those flower gardeners.
Well, yeah, a lot of the flower ones are easy to do if you're, you know, making sure it's the only one you're growing, or that if you're growing, say, two or three marigolds, that you're happy that they're going to mix.
Right, because you've got all of that pollination and things to consider, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 527-486-8186 KVNF now. So what are some of the other reasons people want to seed save? You mentioned breeding.
Yeah, I think, breeding seems like it's the most, it's sort of the deep dive, you know. But in a certain sense, no matter what you're doing, you're always stewarding the seed. And I think one of the take-home lessons that I got this at the conference was that if you, if you have a variety and you grow it out year after year, you're the one who's choosing how that variety goes. There's a Dakota black popcorn that a friend of mine bred up in North Dakota, and it's a beautiful black popping corn. Mm-hmm. And now all sorts of people are growing it out, and she was explaining that, you know, on the picture of the packet from a certain company was a head of her popcorn that she would have culled. So now, you know, someone else is now stewarding this variety and mm-hmm. taking it in a direction that she would not have taken it. She would have not saved seed from the head that they're putting on the as the picture of the packet. You know, so it's up to you as to what direction you want to take things.
Well, and one of the really neat things, too, is when you're growing out and saving seed, you're really choosing what is growing best in your climate. So, mm-hmm. you know, seed that's growing really well for you here in your garden and you take it up to Alaska or somewhere completely different is going to grow in a very different way. So you, each location you're saving seeds at, you're kind of selecting mm-hmm. for that soil.
Yeah, you've got that down, Lance, I think.
Yeah, you get the varieties. You test your varieties, and the ones you like, you keep growing out, and then they adapt to your soil. Water, sun, you know, all those conditions. Even if Don was growing the same carrots that I'm growing, they're going to be somewhat different. You know, different soils, different, you know, and mm-hmm. Don has more wind and I don't. Mm-hmm. Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of the other important thing is trialing things.
Yes.
And trialing is sort of not necessarily seed saving because, say, you're going to trial fava beans, a particular sort of thing that I love mm-hmm. these days. You need to have room if you are going to really trial them and save seed from them, because they actually need a good bit of space in between. Or like our purple fava beans, you're going to wind up with a lot of not purple fava beans in them.
Trialing being just testing them out.
Yeah, so you buy 8 different varieties or 10 different varieties, and you plant them. You know, really ideally, you're in a trial. You're putting them all in the same spot, so they mm-hmm. get the same wind, mm-hmm. the same sun, the same irrigation, all that. And you decide, hey, well, this one works really well, and maybe it's actually done really well. It's a very complicated thing. I mean, you know, if a university professor is trialing something, it becomes a very complicated thing. You can do it in your own garden very simply by just saying, hey, these are the 3 I think are going to work. Let's try them this year and see how they work. Mm-hmm. And farmers are trialing stuff mm-hmm. all the time.
Well, and even for the home gardener, when you're, you know, on a smaller scale, when you're picking your seeds, you want to be looking for your best plants. So if you're looking for tomatoes, you don't want to harvest, you know, the last of the last worst grimy tomatoes mm-hmm. just because you're okay with them rotting. It's right. hard to set aside that it most pristine, perfect tomato and not eat it. But mm-hmm. that's the pristine one you want those seeds from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you get that under your belt and start seeing the results, I think it gets yeah. a little bit easier.
You do have to, like, if you're growing lettuce, you don't harvest any lettuce leaves. You let the whole plant go to seed. Same with spinach. You have to leave that patch. That is set aside for seed, and you don't pick any leaves because those leaves are producing the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You just go for it. Yeah, so you got to get in that mindset that this is not food right now, but it's food for the next 10 years.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Hey, we have Charlie on the line from Montrose. Good evening, Charlie.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good, good.
I think that seed saving is a great topic, and one of the main reasons I think people ought to know is that four companies control most of the world's seed supply now, and among those would be included Monsanto and DuPont. And most of the seeds they produce are either genetically engineered to be Roundup resistant or, in the case of corn, to produce Bt toxin, which is totally abnormal. In addition, a lot of these companies actually are now inserting kill genes in seeds so that you can't use them again. You can't seed them. So it's kind of an insidious thing where four companies are trying to control the world's seed supply, and you're getting a great loss of diversity in seeds, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, a lot of corn farmers, if you have a large plot of land, it's impossible for them to get enough seed that's just regular, you know, seed that used to exist, because 40 acres or larger, it takes a ton of seed. And so those guys are essentially forced to buy, you know, from huge companies like Monsanto. Mm-hmm. And then Monsanto actually patents the seed. They can't even use the seed if they could get it because Monsanto will sue them. So seed saving is very important to protect the diversity of our seed supply, because there is a campaign by four major corporations to control.
Well, and this, Charlie, this was one of the things that at the Organic Seed Alliance definitely comes up quite a lot. The politics of seed saving. And one of the things that I learned there that really made me sort of rethink this whole issue that you're bringing up is that while it is true that, you know, back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, there was probably 200 or 300 varieties of carrots on the market. And now there's, what, 12, 15 yeah. maybe? So we've sort of squandered this genetic diversity that was handed down to us for generations, which is sad. But at the same time, for example, with tomatoes right now, what's happening is there's a huge boon in tomato breeding going on. And so we have the heirloom varieties that we've come accustomed to, Black Crème, Cherokee Purple, you name your favorite. And then there's the hybrid seeds, and I'll get to that in a second. But there's also a lot of people breeding tomatoes to do certain things that does not include sort of the genetic engineering model. It's back to the open pollinated, you know, choosing the variety that you want. But now we can actually add on top of that the understanding of genes and genetics and mm-hmm. alleles and what genes control. And we're just starting to really, I mean, touch the beginning of that. But so, for example, they're breeding tomatoes. A lot of them are called indigo something, indigo apple, indigo, mm-hmm. all these indigo ones. And they have a gene that's actually been brought in from wild tomatoes. There's 9 species of tomatoes that you can breed together. And those tomatoes now, genetically speaking, have a whole lot more genetic variability in them than your classic heirloom tomato. So you get sort of both of these things happening at the same time. So now you can have really amazing flavor from your heirlooms, but you can also have very long storage life that people have been working out. And as Bill McDorman, who's coming here for the seed school, says, you can save hybrid seeds. It's just going to take you on a wild ride. You never know what you're going to get. But you do want to be careful of not trying to save genetically modified seed. That's yeah. for sure.
Or well, what? Or patented seed.
Mm-hmm.
Or patented seed.
In the catalogs, it says PVP.
PVP.
PVP. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Plant varietal protection.
And one thing for those home gardeners, when you are looking through seed catalogs, there are a lot of companies that you'll see it usually at the front of their catalog, and it says that they're committed to the Safe Seed Pledge, and that means that they don't knowingly or willingly sell GMO seeds. So that's something when you're picking out your seeds and looking for a company and a source, if you're buying them and not saving them, that's something you want to look for. So avoid hybrids or F1s. Avoid the PVP, which means the variety is patented, and look for that Safe Seed Pledge.
All right. Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for getting that conversation going. yeah, and I think that's what's so exciting about seed saving is people getting into it, and we're just coming up with these different varieties mm-hmm. and things happening.
Well, and I mean, you know, and I don't want to go too far deep into the political end, but basically there's also the Open Seed Source Initiative, which is another nonprofit that's come about, which has really been designed to sort of say that we are you can breed a seed and say, now this is these genes are open for everyone to use. So now I've been spending 10, 15 years breeding a tomato in a certain mm-hmm. direction, and I'm going to put it on the market, but I'm going to allow you to take that and use it. But how you do that? I mean, how do we as a community get money into the hands of breeders who really spend their lives right. breeding seeds? And it's a really important question and something that I think the whole seed-saving community mm-hmm. is still trying to figure out. How do you do that? You
right. know? Right. Interesting. Okay. 527-486-1866 KVNF now. And Carol from Paonia is on the line. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Before Lance went on vacation, he offered to let some people have his carrot seeds, some of his carrot seeds. And his carrots are legendary. So I wondered if one was interested in Lance's carrots, how should they go about getting them?
Oh, well, there's a couple ways. There's going to be a seed swap at this seed workshop on the 30th. That's Friday at Memorial Hall. And I think it starts at 5. Is that correct?
It starts at 5. For anybody who has seeds that they want to bring, you can set up at 4:30. So again, that is Friday, March 30th at the Hotchkiss Memorial Hall. And then there's going to be a potluck and a local seed panel as well.
5:30 to 8:30.
Great. Mm-hmm.
On the 30th. Hey, can we just talk about that event really quick while we're yeah. on that? That's a weekend deal happening. Yeah. Okay. Oh,
other things. Yeah. If you want to give me your phone number, and you can also, I'm going to say this, I have a listed phone number.
Mm-hmm. But you don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You can email too, Carol, at you can email worm@kvnf.org. And we'll have your contact info.
Yeah, yeah, I can get all yours. Okay. 5-6 varieties.
.org.
Yeah.
All okay.
right. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thank
happy
you so much.
Carrot growing.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
All
right. Seed saving workshop. That's on the 30th and 31st of March. Sarah, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, and I know Don can say more too, yeah. but this is a really great program, and there's a lot of organizations coming together on this. VOGA is involved, the Learning Council, Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance, and it's going to be great. So Friday is a free event and open to the public, and that is going to be, there's going to be a potluck and a seed swap and a local seed panel as well. And then Saturday is going to be a great event. It's Seed School in a Day, and that is put on by Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance, and they are awesome. They have wonderful resources through their website, and they have more information. You can sign up for the Seed School in a Day on their website at rockymountainseeds.org. And Bill McDorman is the head of that organization. He's going to be putting on Seed School in a Day. And if you are interested and really want to learn more about seed saving, this is the event for you.
Yeah, he sounds like the guy to do it, right?
He is just absolutely an amazing, amazing guy. And he's been saving seed for a very long time, started up in Montana. And he had a company up there for years and years, and then wound up becoming the head of the Native Seed Search, a nonprofit organization out of
Tucson.
Thanks. And growing a lot of really great seed crops that mm-hmm. are, you know, really well suited to this area. So he just has an amazing experience, and then has now in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years put together the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. So you know, and it's $50 for the general public. It's $40 if you are a member of the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. And on the VOGA website, vogaco.org, you can get $25 scholarship. So if you're a member, if you join up the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance, which I highly recommend you do if you're interested in seed saving, because they've got a lot of great programs. And, you know, this could cost you $25. This is a no-brainer. You could learn an incredible amount of information in one day. And it's Saturday, 31st, from 9 till 5. A lunch will be included.
Nice.
Kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. So get online, people. Do it.
Yeah, that's a resource happening right here in our own backyard. Good way to spend the weekend.
And it's also supported by Slow Food Western Slope.
Okay.
Just because. Yeah. Sponsors.
All those great places coming together. Okay, 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. Don, I just want to mention you're also affiliated with the reopening of the CSU Extension office up there, working with Frank Stoniker, who's been on our show before.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have been asked to be a part of the board of people who are sort of helping just bounce ideas around how do we get that the CSU research station back up and running. And I mean, I think it's amazing that there's actually a research station focused on organic agriculture, because having worked with the organic farming alliance, it's really, there's very little organic land where research is being done. So the fact that we have some of that in our valley, and the fact that we have so many organic farmers in our valley is really important. I think they're Frank's working with Laura from High Desert Seeds, and a great local seed company. If you're looking for some locally adapted seeds, a great one to check out. And they're working on a cover crop. They put in a proposal for the specialty crops grant for working on cover crops and growing cover crop seed, because it's something that organic farmers, you know, is I have to buy organic cover crop seed, certified organic cover crop seed, and it's hard to find, and it's expensive, and it's heavy, and you have to ship in, and you need a lot of it.
You need a lot of it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, for me, you know, it's hard to find. So I think if we can make that a local resource, it would be really, really awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, I've mentioned in the past that the one of the problems that I see in that cover crop seed is it all is shipped in. I mean, some of the bags I even see are from Canada. You know, and buckwheat, I've mentioned, there's only one place in the United States where buckwheat is actually cleaned, and that's in New York State. So wherever it is grown in the United States, it gets shipped to New York, and then it gets shipped to wherever is the source.
That's what we're kind of talking about with this grant, though, is being able to grow
well,
it
and with like the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance last year, I was able to do a trial with them, and they sent me a bunch of seeds, and they sent me two different buckwheats. That was a great example. And one of them was amazing and grew like 3.5-4 feet tall and produced quite a lot of seed, which mostly got eaten by the mice, I'm sorry to say. It's hard. You got to see the seed project all the way through to the end.
It is a lot of patience, and like you say, Sarah, leaving those gems on there to save the
seed. That's a whole process too, and then the cleaning, that's a whole nother process, and getting it to, you know, thinking about if there's only one place that buckwheat can be clean, you got to think about the equipment too that's involved for the large scale, especially
the
because
large scale backyard, it's easy, but
Yeah, if you were going to grow large-scale cover crops, you're doing some heavy-duty cleaning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. Don, any other perspectives you brought home from the Seed Alliance Conference that really stuck with you?
I mean, I think to me it really was inspiring that the ability to increase the genetic stock that we have, that we're, that, you know, I think before I really thought, oh wow, we're whittling down how many varieties of things we have, but I've been empowered to realize that no, I could create new varieties, and not only could I do that, and I hope to do that, but there are hundreds and thousands of people out there who are also doing that. And so to me, it's actually you know, the caller earlier was talking about sort of all of that, the dead end of GMO and all of those things. But I really feel like there's a movement happening that is working in that exact opposite direction. Every action has a reaction, and this is the reaction. And I feel like it's super powerful. And so, you know, if you haven't saved any seed, I mean, Daphne and I owe a lot to Lance, who would kind of come and say, I know you guys can grow some stuff. How about you do this for me and turn it into seed? Because I can't grow it on my place this year. And so we would sort of do it, and it was always a lot of fun. And then, you know, we've just sort of saved a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and now we're really intentionally saving more and more seed. And that there's a lot of information out there. As a flower farmer looking at flower seed, there is a lot of missing information. And I got involved with a group of people at the Alliance who are trying to figure out, like, how are they pollinated? Are they wind pollinated? Are they insect pollinated? What's the isolation distance that you need between the different varieties of flowers? And whereas vegetables, there's tons of books and resources to find this stuff. Flowers, it's held within the flower breeding companies.
Oh, interesting.
Who you know, don't necessarily want to share that information. And unlike vegetable seed catalogs, where you can look and read in the front, like, oh, what kind of seed is this? Was this genetically engineered? Was it you got to do a little – what is it, an F1 hybrid? You got to dig a little deeper depending on the catalog that you're looking in, because it's sort of proprietary information for the company. So
that's fascinating. I didn't realize that. And that's maybe why you've got some marigold seeds of your own there.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, too, just going back to that, every action has a reaction, and empowering people and, you know, getting seeds back into the hands of people. And even if it's vegetable seed saving, a lot of times you can feel really boxed in with all these different rules and trying to save, you know, really dial in certain varieties. But for a home gardener, it's nice to know, you know, don't let that get you down, and save seed and grow them out. And if they don't work for you, try a different variety and just experiment. And it's really inspiring when you do find that seed that just really works in your garden, and it just mass produces, and you want to share it with the whole neighborhood.
Right, right. What is your favorite seed that you were on beans a couple of years ago?
Oh, I'm still on beans. We'll always be on beans. We love growing beans. And
that's dry beans.
Dry beans, yes, yeah. Dry beans. So we grow, depending on the year, we've got about 12 different dry beans that we grow out. And we are really excited because, you know, we have let some different beans cross. And so we kind of have a cross that we've been growing out, and we've been really looking for particular colors.
Yeah,
so,
exactly,
you know,
what
doing
kind of
your small scale breeding and looking for things. So just on a smaller scale, we have on a big year, we have an acre garden, which is not a huge space for seed saving, but it's plenty of work. And for beans, it works really well. And so it's been fun to experiment with our own cross and growing that out and looking for color.
Yeah,
and
exactly what you were talking about, Don, is kind of getting your own.
Yeah, have fun with it. You know, I brought home a bok choy mix. They call it a Grex, and it's his name's Joseph Lofthouse, and he lives in Utah, and he just grew every single bok choy he could get his hands on, and he let them all go to seed, and it's all mixed up.
Oh, wow.
So when we grow it out, we're going to say, all right, which one did well? If the one's going to be really small and dinky and die, and one's going to maybe be amazing and not bolt, and one's going to bolt, and what do you want?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's all about what you want out of that variety that allows you to you know, have fun.
Yeah, that's fun. And that's how you got started, Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, you started seed saving just...
Yeah. Wasn't anything intentional, you know, but it happened.
It just happened.
My intention was to grow my own food. And now I'm growing all my own food, and I'm growing all the seed.
And you have the benefits, I think. It's you've got the variety, the diversity, and the acclimation. I think that's really...
Yeah. Yeah, and every year I got some cabbage I'm going to order, storage cabbage. I really like storage cabbage. Mm-hmm. I still got 8 heads. They look really good. Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe mix that up with something else.
I did want to say something. Dom was so inspired by all these people, thousands of people. Every spring when I'm out working on the garden, I'm thinking of all the people doing the same thing throughout the world and throughout the past.
Sure.
You know, it's you know, that's where it all comes from.
Yeah.
10,000.
Well, and it's 10,000. That's stewarding, you know. Yeah. I mean, you let a broccoli plant go to seed for a couple of years, which wouldn't necessarily work very well here. But in the Northwest, if you let a broccoli seed plant just go to seed and go to seed on its own, it'll turn back into a thing that looks like kale.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So if you don't if you don't take care of it, it's not going to be what you think it is. And how many people eat broccoli all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's stewarding that.
Right, right. That's those, a beautiful,
those genes,
beautiful thought.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and one of the great things about seed saving is, you know, you think about you plant that one seed and it turns into a plant that produces how many hundreds of seeds? So, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't take a lot to get started, and it's overwhelming with the bounty you'll receive.
Well, and Bill McDormand told a story at when I was at the grain school about this family that had one grain of rye. And that's what they had. And they lived in the middle of nowhere, Russia. And they, the first year they planted that one grain of rye, and it came up and they got 50 seeds. And they took those 50 seeds and they put them out the next year. And exponentially, they were able to feed themselves in the middle of nowhere. And they found these people 30 years later who had sort of run into the wilderness. So, I mean, the potential really is awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Let's just mention again, Bill McDormand is going to be at the Seed Saving Workshop, and that's happening on the 30th and the 31st and
RockyMountainSeeds.org.
Okay, perfect.
So go there and look under events, and it'll be a seed school in a day in Hotchkiss. $25 off at the VogaCo.org website.
It's an event not to be missed.
Yeah.
And Friday there will be a seed swap at all both these events in Memorial Hall. So yeah, great seed swap happening. You can get maybe. If you're there early and you're lucky,
you can get some carrot seed.
You can get a little bit of Lance's carrot seed. I don't know.
Oh, don't miss out.
There's going to be a line waiting.
But don't just come for the carrot seed. There's so much more.
Yeah, potluck, dinner.
Right.
You know.
Seed discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good people.
And it's a potluck, so bring a dish to share if you can.
All right.
Because it's free and open to the public.
Yeah.
All right. Don LaRoe from Zephro's Farm and Garden. Pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so
for
much.
Sharing your zeal for seed saving. And Sarah Pope from Delta County Libraries coming back next week. Talk more seed saving.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
And Lance, see you again next week.
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
All right.